The following program is an MLWRadio.com production.
Hello and welcome to a new episode of the Eastern Lariat Podcast, your show for news, notes, reviews and opinions on the world of Japanese pro wrestling here on the MLW Radio Network. I'm your host Strigger, as always joined by Dylan. And Dylan, obviously we are doing this podcast in some tough, difficult times. The COVID-19 stuff is going around the world and there is more negative to report right now than there is positive to report. So how are you holding up right now?
More negative, that's true. Does that mean we're talking about WrestleMania?
No.
That could be very negative. we talk about night two especially. Night one was very interesting. I watched that show with my grandma, my mamma, as everyone knows. So that was a very interesting experience. COVID-19 ravaging the world right now, but you know, I'm happy to be here with you. First of all, I said blessed that we have this time with you, the listeners out there. I want to shout out everybody who voted on the March Madness, which just wrapped up the other day, probably when you listen to this. Congratulations to the winners, Hiroshi Tanahashi in the heavyweight bracket. Big win for him. And the heavyweight bracket was really interesting because Okada actually made the finals, but Tanahashi overtook him in the end. The ace rises again. In the junior division, we had Hiromu Takahashi winning number one overall seed. I pretty much expected that, and the fans delivered there. Masashi Takeda had a great run for the indies all the way to the final as well.
Yeah.
So that was a good bracket as well. Joshi Scene, Meiko Satomura won number one overall seed. So of the three brackets, two of the three of my picks actually won that I thought would win. The heavyweight one threw me a little bit of a curveball. Naito went out surprisingly early to Katsuhiko Nakajima, but Tanahashi ended up taking him out and taking the whole crown. So shout outs to everybody who voted, and hopefully we maybe even got some new listeners off of all of that. All the shows I did before with Joe, Isaac, Eric, like I said, died. A lot of fun stuff to go back to listen to as well. And now, lately, I had a little bit of a scare with my mouth, pretty much, which was surprisingly. So I think that took us a couple of days to recover from that and get things going on this show. But I'm all good now, pretty much. If I'm not as talkative, that's not going to happen. I'm going to be just as talkative as always. They couldn't get rid of me, Strigga. They couldn't take me off the air, even with any kind of infection. A very painful one as well, and I thought it was something even worse. But thankfully, everything's okay, and looking forward to talking about some Japanese pro wrestling.
Thankfully, you're fine, Dylan, again. So, yeah, like there are some slight signs of improvement here in Europe, and I just hope that the same goes for the U.S. in the forthcoming weeks. Japan, they kind of had a bounce back to a lockdown that now was an official lockdown for 7 prefectures in Japan, including Tokyo and Osaka. It's a weird situation because basically the story is that they try to save the Olympics by kind of pretending that everything was fine, like in mid-March. So that led to DDT and All Japan, for example, running Kuroken Hall shows with over 1,000 people again.
Yep.
And then the numbers of infections rose again, and now they are in this state of lockdown, but this lockdown apparently is not, like, they can't enforce it by law, but still everything is held up right now. And, well, kind of most promotions have stopped running. The final promotion that still did shows in front of an audience was Big Japan. They did a show in Asahikawa up in Hokkaido this Sunday, I believe. It was on Sunday, April 5 it was. Mm-hmm. And now they discontinued their Hokkaido tour after they still held onto the tour and even made the way up to Japan in their new tour bus. They posted pictures of that, and they also had Jake Lee on that show that they did up in Hokkaido. And I looked that up. So I guess they started in Yokohama because that's their home base. And from Yokohama up to Sapporo in Hokkaido, that's a way of about 1,200 kilometers, or in miles, it would be like 750. I looked that up. That's one way. So they took Jake Lee up there for their show on the 5th, and then Jake Lee returned to Tokyo for his match on the 6th in Shinkiba in Tokyo for All Japan. And the plan was to have Jake Lee back in Hokkaido for the finals on April 12th. So that doesn't make any sense at all, and shows the lack of planning that there is with Big Japan. Why did they have this final match between Jake Lee and Yasufumi Nakanoe on this Hokkaido show? That doesn't make any sense to me.
I hope Jake got like an extra paycheck or something, because 750 miles in one day, like back and forth one day, 1,500 miles total, that's nuts. Like, you know, like that's a really tough option for Jake there. But in terms of Big Japan, the thing is, everything they do, if you look at how this has gone, you mentioned they're still running, but not successfully to the point where they don't even release the numbers of their attendances, you know?
Yes. So Larry Dallas was in Japan for Dragon Gate. They had empty arena shows as well. And he was in our mentions when I talked about the attendance that Big Japan did not announce for the show in Shizuoka on March 31st, and he said there were about 18 people in the audience. Wow. And there was this photo up on Weekly Pro Wrestling where they desperately tried to take a photo with fans in attendance, so I can see that. And for the show in Asahikawa on the 5th, I was trying to find pictures on Twitter under the Big Japan hashtag, but I wasn't able to find anything. And they, as a promotion, they also stopped promoting their shows because they got some real negative backlash on that. Ichi Tosaka, the Big Japan president, posted a picture on April 3, and a lot of replies to that were angry people like pleading with them to stop running their tour right now because of the coronavirus, obviously. Like, the people were not like insulting them. They were still polite, but very clear in their message that they were not happy with Big Japan still wanting to go through with this tour. And I believe, and lots of people believe, that running this tour or even going up to Hokkaido might be even worse for them now, because they now have the reputation of the one promotion that still wanted to run shows despite the situation that there is.
And that's like a really bad stigma to have. We mentioned it before last month when we were talking about things, and hopefully, and speculating and hoping that, you know, you're hoping in Japan and many Asian countries, but Japan in this instance, that people really respect the rules there for the most part and things like that. Yeah. And when you're kind of going out on your own and doing things like this, that's not a good look to have. That's not a good reputation to have as a country or a company. And I think that, you know, the fans, I see where they're coming from, to be honest with you, like I said. But Big Japan, to me, like I was saying, it feels like they're just scratching and clawing and trying to throw everything against the wall to make things work right. You know, it's not a good look.
No, and that's the thing. You know, they obviously had to or wanted to go with this tour to survive as a company. We talked about this on one of our prior shows. They had this. Yeah. They had two buses or ring trucks break down earlier this year. They are in a really bad situation, and they wanted to run this tour to keep running, to remain as a company. But in the end, will this be the final nail in the coffin that they try to run this tour? Because I don't think that the costs they had both in Shizuoka and in Asahikawa were met by the people in the audience, so that had to be a negative in the end.
And just what you said earlier, there it really comes down to a real lack of planning. I'm sure there were some panic buttons being hit behind the scenes in Big Japan, and they just didn't even know what else to do. And like you said, could be end up being the nail in the coffin and do more bad for the company than good, trying to even run this tour. Like, but I think it just comes down to a lack of planning, like you said before. And I'd like to give you some credit too, personally, because you've been following this story really for months now, talking about the stuff like the Animal Hamaguchi situation. So we've been on top of this, like, you know, I would say out of anybody. And it's just a sad thing to see right now, because Big Japan has a long history. They've been around since 1995, obviously. And they're really a premier deathmatch group as well to the fans who love the hardcore wrestling and things like that. So it's really strange. I think they could have at least tried to handle this all better, even if they were to continue running these shows. I would have tried to put some sanctions out of some sort on these death matches, because I don't think anybody wants to see that imagery right now in Japan when it comes to this. Blood everywhere, things like that. It's not, that's even worse, yeah. You know, almost than a regular look. I think they should have tried to cut that out if they were even going to continue. I think they should have just not ran the tour in the first place. But if they were going to, I think they could have been more proactive and make it at least seem like, hey, we're trying to run these shows because we have to, but we're also looking to take care of the fans too. And I don't think that really came across.
I think you mean the Mitsuhiro Matsunaga situation, not the Animal Hamaguchi situation.
Mitsunaga situation.
Exactly. Yeah, and the one company that, like, on a worldwide scale now came off as the most proactive, as you mentioned it, was New Japan Pro Wrestling in the end, because they stopped running on February 26th. That was their final show, and they have not done a show ever since. And I found this extremely well put together chart by the Twitter account at PW Analysis on Twitter, and they gathered some numbers, and they did a stat on pro wrestling attendance in Japan in 2020 from January till March. So the attendance in January rose for about 26% in comparison to last year. In February, it was down. And now, of course, in March, the attendance was down by 85% compared to last year. That's for all shows that they counted from month of March. And also the number of shows is down by 54% in comparison to last year in March. And very interesting is that the number of shows that were held without spectators, like from these 54% of shows that still happened in comparison to last year, only 13% happened without an audience. So, of course, it only makes sense to run a show without an audience if you have a way of distribution, like a streaming service, like DDT does, for example, now with their shows from the dojo or from this undisclosed location that Pro Wrestling Noah is running their Global Tag League in. That's presumably a venue in Kawasaki. Yeah, but it really shows how all promotions have stopped running their events in this situation. And I don't know how Big Japan will come out of this situation. And I really fear for the company as a whole, as I said.
I think those fears are completely justified. And it's kind of crazy to see how far this has all gone. And I think it's getting to the point of just no return for Big Japan. It's like they're losing all control right in front of our eyes, And it's kind of crazy to see because it wasn't a month and a half ago before things got hectic when we were talking about on our Patreon. We did a whole preview for the Strong Climb. Yeah. Excited about it. First time in a while. We hadn't really watched the company in a while. You even said you hadn't watched the company in a while. So, and now it's come to this in the span of a month. That's how devastating the effects of this whole virus is. And it's really sad to see in Japanese wrestling as a whole going down this road. I think they're not the only company too that will eventually need to be worried if this keeps up.
Yeah. It's looking dire right now, and the scene is going to look vastly different than it looked before. Takaki Kidani once again came out and said that there is going to be a industry gathering, he said, in the summer, so presumably a version of All Together once again. But by that point, some companies might have already died, and we're wondering right now, so we're speculating that DDT is picking up more companies, or the company behind DDT is picking up more companies, because Sanshiro Takagi hinted that DDT Universe might change their name because of more companies appearing on the service. So if they can save some companies, that's really good. Otherwise, DDT and other companies, for example, Gato Move, they've suspended all events up until August, and DDT isn't running anything until July, so that's a really long, long time.
It's just tough right now with everything that's happened in Japan. I think they really dropped the ball last month when it came to all the stuff trying to save the Olympics in general. When it comes to the DDT trying to save other promotions, Takagi did make the mint that he kind of hinted at, that maybe more companies are going to be in DDT Universe, talking about maybe changing the name of the service to something else. And I don't want to count my chickens before they hatch on this, because there's a lot of politics that will go into all of that. Mm. But the more that DDT can have, that's just more wrestlers that can have a safe haven of sorts when it comes to the DDT brand, or, you know, cyber agent brand, I guess, more justifiably. So it'll be interesting. We've seen Noah on there already on their service. That's a great thing for them. It's hard to say. I don't even want to speculate on it, because I don't know what's going to happen with Big Japan in terms of DDT's involvement or cyber agents' involvement. But I'm hopeful for that things, guys. However this is out, I just hope that the wrestlers of Big Japan can bounce back and go and have a place when all this is said and done. Because like you said, the entire scene is going to be vastly different when things get back to normal eventually.
Yeah, the thing is, there are a lot of freelance guys right now with WrestleOne closing down. Yep. And if another company closes down, there is going to be even more freelance guys that want to get a job somewhere. We're going to talk about some of these people on this show. It's really unfortunate that this is all happening right now, but there's no going back to the point of how it was before. So we can just hope for the best for all the companies.
And look at the bright side. Now Muto has many more people for Wrestle 2 when he starts.
He has already started his own office, his own website now. We'll see about that. But we also wanted to talk about some empty arena shit, as I called it off the air, Dylan. This all started with Pro Wrestling Noah when they were still planning on running their regular Kirkenall show on March 29. All this fell apart, and they announced that this would be a no-spectator show. So they ran Kirkenall with no one in attendance, and they did four matches. What did you think about the show overall?
Well, I think the idea of this empty arena show, obviously the circumstances made this happen. They were in a tough spot, because remember, they were trying to run this as a normal show pretty late until things really hit the fan. Once the Olympics got moved to 2021, that's when all of this came into play. But before that, pretty much up to a week before the show, they were still advertising this as a normal show. All Japan had their show that had fans. We talked about it on the last episode with Suwama and Kento. We were still going on to that, you know, way of thinking. So now we have this empty arena show. I liked the concept of the show in terms of cut the bullcrap out and get to the important matches. You know, nobody needs to see a random 6 or 8 man tag. I'm sorry. Like, these empty arena shows, like, they should all of those matches should be gone. And we'll talk about it in the All Japan show and how they handled it. And it was more or less like they did them, but they didn't really do them. like the unimportant matches.
Yeah.
So to me, there's no reason to run those other than getting guys on the card and paying them. But I was completely fine with what they did with the four title match setup.
Yeah, me too. I actually thought that the opening tag match for the junior heavyweight tag team title was really long. They could have cut that down because the match story basically was that Hayata's midsection got worked over. And they came back in the end and beat Stinger, in that case Atsushi Kotoge and Kotaro Suzuki. So I liked the story. The match itself was a little long, in my opinion. 22-minute opener here.
You could argue pretty much at least three of the four matches were too long.
Yeah.
If you look at how they matched. So like I would say there was one that wasn't.
Exactly.
But this one, definitely three. I definitely agree with you that it was a little long. 22 and a half minutes for this. 22 and a half minutes for Rattels is not going to light my world on fire no matter what. But obviously a big fan of Stinger. Both Kotoge and Suzuki, I think, are great wrestlers, to be honest with you. But they did a good story here. Like you said, they could have chopped some time off of it, though, and maybe that's what would have happened. I also think that in front of a crowd, that would have benefited this match because these guys are all pretty over. And I think they would have gotten more invested in this story, but it was what it was for an opener. They should have cut some time off, but it wasn't too terrible.
Yeah, but then at this point, I was kind of in the expecting that the next match would go long too. Matsugiura against Minoru Tanaka only was like 15 minutes long. And in the end, I was kind of surprised the match was already over. Because I had expected this to go much longer. And I was a little confused about the entire work in this one because Minoru Tanaka has this taped-up shoulder and Takashi Sugiura opted to work on Tanaka's ankle all the time. So I didn't really get that. And that was kind of distracting me from the match, to be quite honest. It still was pretty good, but I couldn't really get into it because I was constantly wondering why he's not working all the X that marked the spot on Tanaka's shoulder.
Well, I like this match, and I think it totally made sense when you consider the finish of the match. Like, it led right into the finish of him using the ankle lock to make Tanaka tap out. I think the legwork actually made sense in that sense.
Yeah,
but maybe like a little bit of a Jedi mind trick they played on you. They had the long opener, so you thought this one was going to go long. He had the tape on the shoulder, so he kind of confused you a little bit there. I think that it was a mind trick they played on you, Strigger, in this match. But I liked it. I thought it was a good match, actually. I actually thought this was the best match on the show, to be honest with you. I liked it. For what it was.
I kind of liked the Ogawa versus Daisuke Harada match more. It was a longer match, but I really, really liked the work that they did inside this match with all the body part work and all the minor details they put into their work with Ogawa going for Harada's arm all the time and Harada trying to come back. And I was especially a big, big fan of this finish when Daisuke Harada basically made a minor mistake as he went for a double stomp onto Ogawa and slipped. And in this situation, Ogawa just rolled him up with a crucifix hold. And I was a big, big fan of this. And this has a rating of 7.95 on Cage Match. So it's a little more than Sugiura and Tanaka. They are at 7.29.
I have to go against the crowd here. This was kind of a miss for me, and that's surprising considering I love both of these guys, especially Harada. I think is one of the top-tier talents in wrestling of any sort, any company, weight class, whatever. I think Harada's awesome, and Ogawa's a legend. Always been a big fan of his stuff as Rat Boy, and now his GHC Junior title reign here, pretty much. Here's the problem with this match. First of all, you mentioned already that it was really long, and for this kind of match in an empty arena setting, I don't think was the right way to go about it. But even in this style of match, Harada, I thought, really let me down because a lot of this match was based on arm work for Ogawa, but it really didn't play into anything. Unlike the other match, I don't think Harada sold it as well as he could have. For this kind of match, you need to hit like everything for it to work, and it didn't really work for me on that level. I thought it was okay, but it wasn't what I – and maybe my own expectations were too high as well.
Maybe.
I think I think with all things considered, though, I like the other match better. This was okay, but actually, like I said, if you were to put a gun to my head, this is a rare miss for these two, who I really respect. And I think when things get back to, you know, having fans, or if they just have a different style of match, to be honest with you, because I just think that they have a lot better in them than this.
Yeah, then that's fair for this match. I can see that. It was really long in an empty arena. But the next match, the main event of this show, was even longer. And of course, that sparked a lot of discussion. And it maybe was the most talked about Pro Wrestling Noah match in a while. And I gotta give it to them. I think they were speculating that this would be a big talking point online, with Shio Ozaki defending the GHC heavyweight title against Katsuhiko Fujita. In a normal setting of a regular Kurikan Hall show with fans in attendance, this match would have been god-awful because the crowd would have turned against the match like 5, 6, 7 minutes in if the guys are just not moving. But they played this off so well in this empty arena setting that it, in my opinion, actually came across well. What did you think about the first 30 minutes of the stare down?
Well, this is obviously a really heavily talked about match in wrestling in general. I thought it was one of the bigger stories of the last really 2 months, pretty much, in terms of a pure match. And it's interesting when you think about it that Fujita a year ago wasn't even wrestling at all, you know, and now he's in one of the most talked about matches here versus Go in an empty arena. Imagine telling that story like a year ago. The main event of the Noah show 1 year from now will be zero fans in attendance for Fujita versus Go. And it's not just because Go's champion, like some of his other titles. So yeah, the opening 30 minutes, I think it was really clever booking. Like, I think you, whatever you want to say about the match itself, I think you have to give props to them putting this together, because ultimately, to me, what this was all about was to get people talking. Yeah. And there's no question that that succeeded in its goal. So you have to think about, what was this match trying to accomplish? Get people talking, do something that was really unexpected that you couldn't do in a normal circumstance, and they totally succeeded. So on that level, I think it was really smart booking on Noah's part, and whoever put this together, Go, Fujita, whoever's idea it was, I think it was really smart to do it this way. In terms of the match itself, I think it's really interesting because the fact that they did so little, they did nothing at all for 30 entire minutes. Like you said, in a normal pro wrestling circumstance, this would have been terrible. It's objectively bad to do this. But in the context of this weird world of pro wrestling, it accomplished something that many, many matches don't do. And that if you look at a lot of the discussion of it, a lot of people are doing something that really irritates me, to be honest with you, when it happens. Like, and New Japan is often guilty of this whenever New Japan goes into stories. And that is what I'm seeing a lot of in this match is people projecting onto this match.
Oh yeah.
Saying stuff like, well, it was this 30-minute stare down was the ultimate battle of Enokiism versus Misawa, or, you know, your King's Road. But really, that had nothing to do with, like, that was never a staple of King's Road or Enokiism, 30-minute stare downs, or even extended stare downs like this. That had nothing to do with it. Like, there was stuff going on in this match where people would say they're trying to tell a story in the coronavirus world of a social distancing match.
Exactly.
And I don't think that, like, I don't really believe that at all. And I kind of think that if you just, what I said about it just being something to get people talking, I think that has value in and of itself. But people have twisted this into something so outrageous almost that it's kind of like amusing in some ways, I would say, like, amusing, but I don't know why people feel like the need to do that. It was two guys staring at each other. It was to get people talking, and it worked. That's all it was. It was a publicity stunt, like, as much as a match, it worked.
I kind of got the idea of the social distancing element of that, because they were doing that for the first 30 minutes.
They did it. I guess so, you're right there.
So that was at least funny, and the funniest spot in this match was when Fujita was drinking out of the sanitizer bottle and spat it out again, then did another did another one and sped it into Go's face. So that was at least funny. What did you think about the actual wrestling when they came to it?
I thought they mixed this match a little bit. They tried to do some stuff with the headlock, and then suddenly it turned into a crowd brawl all over the Currican Hall. And I love the spot where he tried to put him in the elevator, but the elevator wouldn't come. So he just ended up walking up the stairs. Yeah. But again, though, to me, this kind of match isn't what Fujita's known for.
No.
This
has nothing to do with Kazuyuki Fujita.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, I think people are, like, associating him with this now. And I don't know why. Maybe they just didn't see his original run or what. But to me, like, that's not anything I think about. When we got into the ring and we did, you know, his normal stuff, the soccer ball kick, the heavy hitting from Go, I thought they did some great stuff. I do think that Go, whenever they tried to go, like, when Fujita tried to take it to the ground to, like, do a technical style match, Go didn't really handle it that well, surprisingly. And I thought Go did a really great job in his match with Hideki on that, of trying to work a balanced game plan. But here, I don't think it worked fully. Maybe they just had a disconnect, not on the same page for that.
Yeah.
You know.
So
but,
I mainly liked the match for the innovative ideas they had and not for the wrestling. I just thought it was a good idea. I liked when Fujita was on top and he was talking shit to Shiozaki. That was a good way to portray that he's this veteran guy, at least more of a veteran guy than Go is. That was good, but as you said, it didn't really click that well.
But when they got to, like, to me at least, when they got to strike exchanges, it really picked up, and I liked what they did, actually. Like, they had some really awesome, like, kick-ass stuff. I just think it was wrapped around, like, 10 different ideas of a match all together into one, it feels like. You know, we have this stare down, then you have guys going on the outside, you have a DDT spot with the hand sanitizer and stuff, you have the elevator, then you have a headlock that went a long time and stuff. And some of the groundwork didn't really work out. And I put that more on Go than Fujita. Then you had the good stuff that they had, which I wish they had just focused on and zoned in on. And I think they would have had a really badass and awesome match. But at the same time, I can understand why they did this, because ultimately, in this scenario as well, even if they did that, I think a lot of people are kind of down on these empty arena matches in a lot of ways anyway. So would we have had a more memorable match doing a normal Fujita match? Which I think, if you look at his run in Noah so far, Fujita's had all great matches, you know, pretty much, or many of them. Like his match with Taniguchi, I thought was really strong on the Sumo Hall show. You know, you look at stuff like this, and it got people talking much more than something like that. And for whatever that says, I don't really know for sure. But I give them credit for the booking. I think the match had some good parts if they cut out a lot of the stuff. And I actually think even the stare down opening, you know, the opening stare down, I think could have been much better done if it was toned down a lot to the point of where it's not. Because now it's a comedy spot almost, you know, like this 30 stare down. I think they could have done what people are saying they tried to do. But if they were doing that, it wouldn't have gone 30 minutes. It would have gone like, you know, 5 or 10 minutes pretty much. We've seen a match like that before with Taichi and Taka. Where they didn't do anything for like 10 whole minutes pretty much, and then went right to the finish pretty much here. And another thing too, if they were going to do this, because I like the idea of it, I like it on paper, I thought it was entertaining in its own way, but if they were going to do this, they should have gone all the way with it. I feel like to end it 3 minutes before the draw was, you know, like that.
I didn't get that either.
That kind of unwrites the whole point of all of this, I feel like. Like, the entire purpose of the match, to not go all the way, just do it. Like, you've already done it. Like, just go for it. And they didn't do it. Like, they held up 2.5 minutes before the time limit draw. But ultimately, it succeeded in its objective, so I have to give them some props there. And there was some good wrestling. I think there's a good match in, like, this 57.5-minute foray. I think there's a good 10 to 12-minute match here. But it's hard to really recommend it. And I think even a lot of the people who talk good about it, I wonder what this match's reputation will be a year from now or 2 years from now. Yeah, I don't know if anybody will even go back to watch this again for the most part, to be honest with you. It's just hard to justify watching a 30-minute stare down, to be honest. But I like the idea of it meaning something more. I just don't think it really, if you actually look at it and look at it more deeply, it really just doesn't. It all falls apart, like all of those narratives, if you look at it. So it was what it was to me, and that's how I look at it. But I do think there was like some good stuff here, and I'd love to see a regular match. And I think they will go for a rematch eventually between these two, and it'll be interesting if the crowd is there. I wonder, and this is another thing, String, this is something I haven't really seen anybody talk about online. I want to know what the Japanese fan reaction to this is. Well, I like the Noah fan reaction, because this was not a Noah-style match at all.
Yeah.
This wasn't a Fujita-style match at all. This wasn't a Go-style match. This was something that belongs to DDT.
Like, yeah, I was going to make that point, too, because it seemed like it was a weird crossover between the ideas that you'd have for a DDT, I don't know, like skyscraper show when you go for the elevator spot, you know? And the idea of doing a regular Noah match. So, yeah, that's a really interesting point. I didn't actually look that up, so that would be interesting to know.
I'd love to know what the Japanese Noah fan response to this is, because I could see this not getting over too well with them, to be honest with you. And again, Fujita's not a Noah guy. Go has had his issues with the fan base, but seems to have recovered pretty well now. Here's an interesting take for you, String. This is an idea I had, because you mentioned the DDT crossover. At DDT, they advertise themselves ultimately as a parody of traditional pro wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
So when you look at this match, imagine this, because, okay, so they technically didn't do anything for 30 minutes. But is that better or worse than, say, a New Japan style main event, a traditional modern day epic main event where a lot of stuff happens, but nothing really matters for the last part. Imagine Sonata versus Okada with no crowd. Like, would that have been better or worse than what these guys did?
Oh, I think much worse.
You think the Sonata one would be worse?
Yeah.
And well, that in and of itself is almost like justifies this whole thing pretty much. That's kind of how I look at it, like a parody of the modern day epic where nothing happens until the last part. And this time they took it to the extreme that they could have done literally nothing.
Like as you said, in this situation, this totally worked out. I don't think that you can go back and A, redo this, or B, even like rewatch this. This worked out for this one moment in time, and that's it.
Yeah, I totally agree with you on that.
To the point of Sanada and Okada that you just made, I ultimately believe that these two, they have to have a crowd. Otherwise, the match and the dynamic between the two doesn't work at all. So that would be dreadful in an empty arena setting.
Yeah, and that's just kind of like, that's just an example I used. I didn't mean to pick on them, but like any modern day epic match that everyone talks like pretty big about usually, if they did that, like if you just take away the crowd and the window dressing, if you just look at it for what it is that really better like than what Go and Fujita did? And that's kind of where I'm going at. Like, this is kind of like a commentary on that almost. And I'm doing some projecting now. Like, this is my own interpretation of it, but it's almost like a commentary on that in a lot of ways. But I think there's some meat to that, because like I said, this felt very much like a DDT match, and a lot of what DDT does is a parody of other companies and things like that, and I'm sure they'll do something to parody this as well, which I think they already have, actually. So very, very interesting stuff there. That's what I'm going for, DDT parodying the modern style of epic main events. I feel like, it could be Kento, Okada, whoever. Like, a lot of the matches follow a very similar formula, often go over 30 minutes anyway. So, like, that's what I'm taking this as, a parody of those big matches.
Yeah, so Noah is now continuing to run, as I said before, presumably in some venue in Kawasaki, where their dojo is also located. And they are running the Global Tag League between April 5, so the first two episodes already happened, and April 14, they are having all block matches, and there are 8 teams in this tournament right now. Block A is the GHC Tag Champions, Maro Fuji and Mochizuki. Then we have Kaito Kiyomiya and Shuhei Taniguchi, Kenno and Masa Kitamiya, as well as the odd couple of El Hijo del Dr. Wagner Jr. and Rene Dupre. And in block in block B, we have Goshi Ozaki and Katsuki Nakajima, Takashi Sugiura and Hideki Shrek Sekine, the Dark Agents of Akitoshi Saito and Masao Inoue, as well as Daisuke Sekimoto and Yoshiki Inamura. I watched the first two episodes, and I gotta say that I thought the first one was good, and the second one was okay. You really have to, I don't know, suspend your disbelief for this empty arena stuff, and just take the matches as they are. But I think that Japanese wrestling has an edge over American wrestling in front of no audience, just down to the fact that the wrestlers in Japan, when they do strikes, for example, they tend to work a little harder, I'd say. Like, for example, when you take Go and Nakajima with their strikes on Inoue and Saito, that really worked out. And with Mochizuki and Maro Fuji as well, when they did their strikes on Kiyomiya and Taniguchi. And the same goes for the match that they had with Sakimoto and Inamura against Sugiura and Shrek. I don't know. Do you agree with that point or not? So
see, here's an interesting take. When I was watching WrestleMania with my grandma, mm-hmm. she told me, like, we were watching the empty arena. At first, she was like, well, this is going to be weird. But then by the end, she was like, I kind of like it better because you could hear the matches more. Mm. Like pretty much. I think that's something that people kind of underrate, because if you listen to people talk about it, especially, like, you know, people who have watched wrestling a long time and things like that, they'll often point to the crowd a lot as a heavy part of it. But if you just break it down, I think this has a very unique, this empty arena stuff has a unique way of, you can look at the matches in a unique way, so to speak. The point you made was totally true. I think when you look at the strikes, they just pop a little more. Mm. Things get more hyper-focused. You can hear the ring. People's charisma shows in a unique way, just like the Fujita in his match as well, such a charismatic performer as he is, really made that work in his own way. Here you had stuff like beating up the Dark Agents. That's always fun. Like, pretty much, you know? Like, who doesn't love Masao Inoue getting attacked and beaten viciously by Axis here? Although they did actually, they won, though.
They won the Dark Agents match, yes. That took some suspension of disbelief as well, that the Dark Agents would beat Axis in 2020. But I can't fault Noah for that, because they obviously had to find someone that can challenge Go Shiozaki next, because Michael Elgin would have been the next challenger, and they weren't able to bring him in, obviously. So the finish looked devastating too, with the Death Brand, basically the Steiner screwdriver Saito hit on Shiozaki. And I really liked Nakajima in this match too, because he was doing his corner, whatever you can call it, the corner stomps, where he just leans into the opponent, and he was pointing to the camera and was pointing to the fans in that situation, so I like that. And also in the main event, I really like the chemistry that there was between, especially Mochizuki, Maro Fuji, and Taniguchi. I really think that Taniguchi worked hard in this match, and I think he worked harder than Kiyomiya did. So for these 16 minutes, I really liked how they presented Taniguchi, even though he lost in the end.
Yeah, Taniguchi's good. I've really been a fan of his over the last pretty much year. I think he's kind of underrated. People think of him as Maybach, you know, but ever since he's taken off the mask, he wrestles good, like, pretty much. I loved his feud with Sugiura at the end of last year. I they did a really good job building him up, even though he lost. They really built him up well and made him look like a warrior with the blood and everything there. And here I thought he worked good, especially I think Mochizuki really stood out on his team. I really loved what they did. Mochizuki and Taniguchi was the main pairing here. The traditional, you know, the Noah Ace types here with Marufuji and Kaito, they were both fine, but I really liked Taniguchi and Mochizuki here. I thought this was a good match, actually. Really, everybody did all right, but I liked the pairing, I said.
I don't know, have you seen the show from April 7 yet?
No, I haven't seen it yet.
Okay, yeah. So I thought it the opening with Dupre and Wagner against Kenno and Kitamiya, it's nothing that you need to seek out. The main event, or the second match of that show, was pretty good, but didn't touch the main event of the first Global Tag League show. So Inamura was able to look pretty good again here. Shiozaki and Sugiura had some fiery exchanges, and that was that. So if you are able to watch MT Arena Wrestling, these shows really fly by because it's two matches. It's under an hour of wrestling. So you can just sit there and watch some fun tag wrestling at least. I think that's a good way to create new content in this situation. And that's basically the same that All Japan did, because they had to cancel their Champion Carnival, and they announced that they would do this show that had the weird title of What We Can Do Now. And What We Can Do Now was a card that in the end was a little longer than 2 hours, but the undercard was done after 35 minutes, Dylan.
Uh-huh. See, that's what I mentioned earlier about getting all the bullcrap out of the way, pretty much. They did that in spades on this All Japan show. Every match, pretty much, was 4 minutes or less, it feels like, until the top two matches.
Yeah, they did some fun stuff. For example, in the opening, when Kai was there against Black Mensore, someone yelled Kyohei Wada's name again, like the fans usually do. I believe it was Kai. I'm not sure.
Kai.
It was Kai. Yeah, okay. Yeah. It was Kai. That was cool.
Kai, MVP of the show, just like in a non-wrestling sense.
Yeah. So the next match, Koji Omoto and Tajiri against Hikaru Sato and Yusuke Okada. Once again, as you said, they cut out the bullcrap that Tajiri would presumably usually do in this match, and they just had a 4 minute exchange of good wrestling here. And, Takao Mori against Shikara had a fun idea of Takao Mori going to the ring and Shikara not letting him to the ring. The wrestling was what it was. Takao Mori is pretty broken down. The bump for the full Nelson bomb looked hideous.
Yeah.
Was a fun short match.
They but he does have a theme song, though. Entrance music.
Yes, he does. they cut down Jiro Kuroshio against Gianni Valletta to what they needed to do. That was a weird match to announce in the first place, but I was kind of intrigued by the idea of this match, to be quite honest. But it led to a six-man tag: Akira Francesco, Jiro Ikemen Kuroshio, and Yoshitatsu. Akira and Yoshitatsu came for Jiro's save. They beat Purple Haze, Izanagi, Shigure Irie, and Gianni Valletta in 3 minutes 38. Ikemen did his Ikemen salt. And after the match, he said he would not leave for the US until he would perform in the Champion Carnival. So I guess that him and Shotaro Ashino, who also made an appearance at this show and said that All Japan is now his main battlefield, I guess that these two would have been replacements in the Champion Carnival.
Well, Jiro, he's been supposed to be going to America for like a year now. So, like, yeah. But this one thing, this is why he stayed. It's the Champion Carnival, obviously, that kept him there for this whole time. He was just waiting on that call before he made that trip over across the Pacific Rim. Ashino coming in, great move for All Japan, firing the first strike. I'm pretty happy for him, you know, that he gets a spot to land in. Things are, the times are crazy, so we don't really know what the thinking is all around. But I still think it's a great pickup for All Japan and a great spot for Ashino. I think he has a lot of fresh matches, obviously. I figured that he was going to start off in 0-1 for a while before he signed there, but looks like All Japan wanted him, scooped him up, made the first move. I think Noah made a mistake letting him slip through their fingers. They should have tried a little harder to get him, but All Japan out there.
I don't know, Dylan. Kind of reminds me of our Wrestle One Fantasy Draft.
Yeah, nice to see. Well, he was the difference maker in a lot of ways. You know, so I have to give it up to you on that one. Ashino, he really is the difference maker when it comes to Wrestle One. I think he's the main guy that people associate with it. I'd love to see some other guys get, you know, maybe now Doi and Inaba and Kuma Arashi will all go to Noah after things follow our draft format. Maybe, and the number one pick was the number one pick in real life as well. So I think that's a very prophetic episode. I would highly recommend people listen to that if you haven't yet.
Yeah, so Yusuke Kodama is working for Big Japan now. He at least would have started with Big Japan if they had run shows. Ashino, though, he said he's going to be in All Japan for the most time. And he also made his intentions clear. He is a guy that is not as big as, for example, Zuwama or Ishikawa or even Miyahara is. He's 5'9", 190 pounds around that. And he said that he is going to show that you don't have to be necessarily big for professional wrestling. And that is the point that he wants to make when he's going to All Japan. So I can see there being a lot of great matches. He specifically mentions, of course, that he wants to be Triple Crown champion, wants to fight Miyahara, wants to fight Jake Lee and Zuwama. So there are a lot of matches that I guess we would have seen if Ashino would have been in the champion carnival.
Yeah, well, I wish it would have happened, pretty much. But maybe one day it will, when you know, because they talked about keeping the champion carnival in play anyway and not skipping it over. So I'm hopeful when they can get back to normal, things can, or whatever normal is going to be when they get back to it. I'm hopeful that Ashino still shows up in All Japan and has a great run. And whenever that happens, I have full confidence that he'll have some great matches and do some big things in All Japan.
I want to point out that the only matches that Jiro Ikemen Koshio has worked this year were for Wrestle One, for their final show, that he was in the Battle Royal, and these matches for All Japan now. So that's at least interesting.
He only cares about the champion carnival. he said it himself. He doesn't work for crap shows. He wants to be in the champion carnival. That's all he cares about.
Sure, sure. Maybe there's a little more behind that. Who knows?
I don't want to speculate, but you know, you may be onto something.
Yeah, so two more matches on this one. I really like the next one, the veteran versus rookie match. Jun Akiyama and Takashi Sugiura came together as a tag team and they took on Dan Tamura and Hokuto Omori. I noticed that Tamura has put on some weight, but especially Hokuto Omori looked bigger than he looked last month, and he has a new gear. He's now the North Wolf. And I thought he came across very well, but Dan Tamura with Sugiura also had some nice exchanges. So for the two youngsters, this was a good opportunity.
Omori is one of the smartest wrestlers I know, because you know, some of these sanctions and stuff are not going to reach Northern Japan. So when Michinoku Pro's the last company running, he is going to be the one in North Wolf right now. Omori has a plan, clearly, with this new character, I think, is the main takeaway.
Well, you might be joking, Dylan, but actually Michinoku Pro did some shows in their dojo in Takisawa. They did two one-match shows where they had 20 people in attendance. So they kept the social distance.
They did. They're playing by the rules right now of social distancing. And like I said, that may be a reality. They may be the last company running because they're in a different spot than most of the others in Japan, in the north. But yeah, I think this is cool stuff. Omori getting new gear. Like the match a lot. Sugiura is awesome. I feel like he's been one of the, of everybody in wrestling, between this match and especially that 0-1 tag. Sugiura continues to keep my hope alive, and I liked his match with Kaito and Minoru Tanaka enough. They weren't spectacular, but I really loved the tag matches here, and this was another good one, I thought, in an empty arena setting, much like the other match he had, actually. Good, nothing. It's nothing that you're going to revisit for match of the year, nope. But it was a lot of fun.
Yep. I'm interested in your take on the main event, because, as I said, the show had a nice flow of 35 minutes, and I thought, well, even if they go to the 30 minutes, I thought it was a 30-minute time limit. I didn't listen to the ring announcer that well, obviously. So when they were above the 30 minutes, I figured, okay, they are going long now. And what Fujita and Go didn't, they did. Here they went to the time limit draw of 60 minutes. That was interesting, in my opinion. What did you think about this match?
I think it's clear that the draw made all of the difference between the two matches. If they had went to it in the other match, it would have been amazing, but I have to take points away for that. But here they went to the draw. In all honesty, though, I love this match.
Yeah.
I think this is one of my favorite matches of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely up there in match of the year voting for me. This will be in my top 10. This reminded me so much of the classic All Japan six-man tags.
Oh, yeah.
The you know, mm-hmm. Back in the days of the Four Pillars, Jumbo, Kikuchi, like this was that style. They don't do it anymore. Like, that's the thing. Like, we don't really see a match like this anymore, and it used to be very commonplace. There, like, go through on Patreon the 90s Project. There's probably dozens of matches in the top 50 of every year that turned out to be all Japan tag matches of that era. And we don't really get them like this anymore. But here we did, and I thought it was just an amazing match up and down. I love that they went so long. I love that everyone got so much to shine. I love the setup of the teams. I thought it was really interesting. This really felt like a... Like, this is all Japan for new people, almost. Like, these are six top guys. They're the teams are a little mismatched, actually, if you look at them. Suwama and Kento just wrestled. Zeus is a heel now. But they still all came together to wrestle the other team of Ayagi, Lee, and Ishikawa, another mismatched team. I thought it was just great stuff. And I would love if they could set up something with some factions and set something up like this where this could be commonplace again and bring it back to how it used to be in the early 90s, which was some of the best wrestling of all time. I thought this was a fantastic performance by everybody involved, and definitely one of my matches of the year so far.
I completely agree with this take of this being one of the best matches of the year, and I think it even is my favorite six-man tag match since the final match they had in Sapporo Tyson Hall in 2015, where they had the 30-minute draw between Sekimoto, Masato Tanaka, and Kashi Sugihiro on one side against Harashima, Yuji Ino, and Okabayashi. That was an incredible match too, and I thought this one was incredible as well. And it started out with Yuma Aoyagi clapping along to Jake Lee's song.
Yeah,
I thought this was full of so many details that it was just a joy to follow along. On the side of Lee and Aoyagi, they showed that they can be such a great heel team as they tried to, well, basically take down Miyahara all the time in this match. That was great. Some great heel spirit by the two. Ishikawa got into Suwama's face numerous times during the match. They set up something there between the usual tag team partners. And then you had Kento Miyahara, who has a bone to pick with all of these guys in this match. Basically, he has a rivalry with all of them. And this played off in this match as well. So there was a little downtime, like between the 40 and 50 minute mark, but it picked up in the end again. Zeus did some great athletic stuff as well. So this was just all action for 60 minutes, and I completely forgot that this was an empty arena setting because they had some people cheering in the background. I guess it was some staff and wrestlers that they were just placing in Shinkiba. So that was a very well-used setting for this idea of an empty arena show. And as you said, they really rushed through the undercard. They didn't do an unnecessary stuff here. They just came down for the important stuff, I actually loved the show.
You could tell Kaya was having such a good time.
Yeah.
This match, like I said, he was unofficial MVP without being in this match. But I really love Aoyagi and Leah. I was just going to mention that. I love Jake's heel edge that he found in Big Japan. I thought he did a great job. And now bringing it to All Japan, this is what I wanted. Lee and Aoyagi, heel tag team, please, like, give me this. I love Aoyagi. I think he's been one of the biggest beneficiaries of a heel turn in some time, I feel like, in anywhere in wrestling. I think he's done a great job. And Lee, I really have a lot of high hopes for it. I think he's a great wrestler. Somebody mentioned that on Twitter, and I was thinking, like, if you think about his run this year, he's way kind of underrated in ring because he's had so many great matches that you wouldn't even think about and been a part of some big matches, starting with the Kento title challenge. You had the Battle Arts tag with Ishikawa, his Big Japan stuff, and now this. It's like this guy has a pretty solid resume when it comes to in-ring, like best in-ring performer in this company or even in anywhere, really. I think he's had a great year, like really underrated in-ring. And I love the character work that he did here. And Aoyagi, I just think, is the man. Like, that is my guy in All Japan right now, Yuma Aoyagi. And Okada and Sato, obviously. But they're the juniors. But of the heavyweights, Aoyagi's my guy. Kento looked great here. And like you said, he had such a unique storyline in the match of having beef with everybody. And that's something, again, you could tell so much stuff in these kind of six-man matches. I really hope this becomes the norm. I don't care if there's nobody or a million people, like Inoki would claim. game in Tokyo Dome. Like a million people or zero or on another planet, I don't care. Like, bring back the six-man tags because they're an awesome staple of All Japan that you don't get in any other company even now. So I really hope that this becomes the norm again. Great, great match. And, yeah, really well put together show. They had the total – like, whoever put this together in All Japan totally had the right idea. Unique stuff. Great match at the end. Really good show.
Yeah, I'd really love to see more of this in Shinkiba especially. WH put that on his Twitter too, that Shinkiba seems like the – perfect venue to do this kind of show, because you don't have to set up anything and it still doesn't look like it's too big of a building, because it really is a very small building. They usually set up chairs around the ring. They didn't here, and they just put guys on the bleachers. So in my opinion, that totally works out, and the Noah stuff works out as well, for me at least. But I gotta be honest with you, Dylan, I mix in wrestling in front of an audience after I have watched a show without an audience, because wrestling without an audience is just, it's just not meant to be, you know?
Yeah, see, I think I'm the only person in the world that actually likes it, besides my grandma, I think, because, like I said, it hyper-focuses you on the action, and that's something I appreciate. I just don't think a lot of people... I just don't think a lot of people can appreciate it like that, to be honest with you. Like you said, I think most people would agree with you that it needs a crowd. There needs to be the fix-ins. And the, like I said, the soul food is good, the fat back's good, and the ribs are good, but you need the mashed potatoes, you need the mac and cheese, you need the collard greens, you need all that stuff. And that's what the crowd brings, you know. Yeah. I feel like a lot of times. So a lot of people, I think, would definitely agree with you. But I actually don't mind it. I've gotten kind of used to these empty arena matches. On paper, it doesn't really work from a storytelling sense. But just on a technical level, I enjoy these matches fine,
yeah,
to be honest.
No, I can see that it's fine on a technical level. It's just, I don't know. It feels so different.
Yeah, I don't think anybody can blame you for that opinion.
Yeah.
I think most people would agree with you, but just on a personal level, it's not the end of the world for me. I just watch the matches as they are, and like that match, whether there's a crowd or no crowd, or wherever, or it's underwater, is like, that to me is a fantastic match of the year level match. So I enjoyed it fine. Who knows what it would look like with a crowd? You know, maybe it would have been even better, you know, for all we know. But for what we got, I enjoyed it, and I enjoy these matches. I'm just happy we have some wrestling to watch. Just again, on a personal level, I'm happy watching these shows, even if it's crazy stuff or DDT era stuff. You know, I'm fine with it anyway, and I like I said, I like the show, and I think mixing in some wrestling with a crowd is not the worst idea either. If you don't like it, try and go back and watch something from the old days, or maybe some kind of smaller show from Big Japan if you want to watch that.
Yeah, you know. I know. I don't really have an issue with watching wrestling in front of a tiny audience. It's just so unusual to see nobody there.
And, well, it's definitely not the norm.
Yeah,
you see. So, I mean, like I said, you need the fix-ins too. A lot of people would say. So I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But what match did you watch after this empty arena show, or what show did you watch with the arena?
I have not yet watched something after the Noah empty arena show from April 7, but I will definitely watch some more wrestling in front of an audience.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. It looks like there is not going to be a lot of wrestling in April in Japan. So, I don't know when we can return to discuss some wrestling that happens right now. It doesn't look good right now, to be quite honest.
Well... you know, it's not a great look right now for the pro wrest scene, but there's always some good stuff going on somewhere.
Yeah.
I feel like I really expect that somehow, some way, whether it's these Noah shows or All Japan runs a show, there'll be some good wrestling going on somewhere. And if not, I'll have something, follow us on the Patreon. We'll have something for you there.
Yes.
Whether it's old or something like that. Maybe if push comes to shove, we might release one of those shows for free if things go too crazy, or we might do something unique. Who knows? But the main thing, just follow us on Patreon, patreon.com/EasternLariat. We will have all of your needs fixed for all kinds of old school wrestling and wrestling with crowds for the most For the most part, maybe there will be some. Maybe we'll go. Maybe that's what we should do, Striga. Like next episode, all of the Inoki Island matches that we have no crowd.
Maybe we should. Maybe you shouldn't. I don't know.
Maybe you should, Striga, is what I'm saying. Like I didn't say me.
Well, I pass. I've watched them. I've done that once, and that's enough.
Once was enough. Kind of like Fujita. You know, once you've seen it once, you know the score, pretty much. Yeah.
Exactly. So as you said, please follow us on our Patreon, on the Eastern Lariat. Follow us on Twitter, at Eastern Lariat. And I guess that's it for now. Stay safe, everybody. This has been the Eastern Lariat for now. Thank you all for listening, and goodbye.
Sayonara.
This is the MLW Radio Network.